Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the analyst call for Q1 FY22 for Agro Techco Limited by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mehul Desai from Anand Rathi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aisha. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Anand Rathi, I welcome you all for 1Q FY22 result conference call of Agro Tech Foods. From the management side, we have Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. KP N. Srinivas, CFO of the company. We'll start with opening remarks from the management, and then we can start the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for taking the time out for the call this quarter. I'll walk you through the presentation that we've already uploaded on the website, so you can see that on our quarterly results section analyst call. It's called analyst call July 2021. Okay? All right. We can just cover off the P&L as well and then take any questions that you have. I am right now on page three, or let's call the page number of the presentation, which is page two. Right? Mission and vision to be the best performing, most respected foods company in India. Right? How are we doing that versus that? Now on page three of the presentation. Overall, for the quarter, we saw a strong growth of 31% in the foods business, which grew from about 65 crores to about 85 crores in terms of revenues. This is more than what we have indicated to you. As you know, we've always told you we've had a historical CAGR, a 10-year CAGR of about 15%. To that, we have said that with all the new products that we are introducing, we expect to do between 20% and 25% growth rate on an annualized basis to be able to get to clock that kind of a growth on a sustained basis. The reason is higher is primarily, as you will see later in the presentation, we've had a significantly higher amount of demand for ready-to-cook products. Right? That is driven to a large extent by the fact that there are more people at home during the second wave of COVID, which has been very difficult across the country. We had correspondingly lower sales of ready-to-eat snacks, and even our breakfast cereals and chocolates would probably have performed better if there had been more out-of-home activity. Their bases are small, so their growths appear very large. Right? On a sustained basis, I think we still feel that the business is capable of growing between 20% and 25%. Obviously, as we go through the year, there'll be ups and downs in this. Right? There is this kind of a quarter where you have a very high growth rate. There could be quarters where it will be lower because the base has now become high and the dynamics have changed. Overall, on the full year, I think we feel comfortable that range of 20%-25% is a good enough range for us to demonstrate sustainable growth of the foods category. As I mentioned earlier, there has been a clear impact of the second wave. Higher in-home consumption of ready-to-cook offsets lower out-of-home consumption of RTE snacks and cereals. When I say lower, it doesn't mean that it's lower. Right? There's still volume growth to some extent, depending on the size of the business, but it is lower than what we would have expected. The foods gross margin improved from about 20 crores in quarter one of last year to about 22 crores in the current year. This was driven by volume growth, but was less than the volume growth. Right? Because it's largely been volume growth which has driven this increase in revenue. Right? Which indicates that there has been some amount of softening of gross margin percentage. There have been significant commodity headwinds. As all of you know, palm oil prices have gone up, and there have been other inputs as well, which have been a challenge. Price, we've taken some amount of pricing. It will be visible already in terms of the premium end of popcorn, where we feel more comfortable taking up pricing. On the bottom end, as far as entry-level packs are concerned, we are a little more reluctant to take pricing because we don't want to compromise volume growth. We want to make sure that volume growth keeps coming at the rate at which we'd like it to come. Right? We feel, therefore, and already now for palm oil has also softened, the prices have softened. I think probably for quarter two, the consumption rate is more like quarter four, which was lower than quarter one. It should be looking better. In terms of oils, we ended the quarter with a gross margin of about 20 crore. This was lower than the prior year of about 27 crores. If you recall, we had indicated to you in the end April analyst call that this year is going to be a bumpy the year before is a very bumpy year because of lots of ups and downs, right? Elevated oil demand, we have called that out then too. And we also had indicated there were a lot of one-timers, et cetera, et cetera, will happen in subsequent quarters. Overall, it's a good figure because for the full year, we actually ended at 72 crores, right? Because we took the pricing actions. More or less, the pricing actions happened more in quarter three and quarter four, right? The price reduction. So at this time last year, we were setting on MRP for our Sundrop Heart and Light products, which was in excess of 200 rupees per liter, right? For the 1 liter and 5 liter pack. We had already started rolling out the 3 liter, but that was still smaller. And the competition was all at about 135 to 140. As we sit today, we are at about 200, but the entire competitive market scenario is probably about between 180 to 200 for our immediate competitors, and then 170 to 180 for the ones like you know that. So I think we've come out well. Most of these price corrections take normally 18 to 24 months to actually play out, right? Because you take the knock on pricing and therefore on margin, but then you know the volumes take some time to come back, as is always the case. But I would say this has been actually faster than one would have expected. So if you look at that 20 crore in the context of last year's 72 crore, I think it's a very good figure. And let's see how the next couple of quarters play out. There's a lot of turbulence in the market, right? And but I think it's good, and certainly it's better, more than what we were expecting when we ended quarter four. And that's natural because quarter four saw peak commodity prices. We were in the process of making ourselves more attractive. We had to actually raise prices again after what we thought was a reasonable point. So that's the detail of the gross margin. So you can see 2 crores up on one business, 7 crores down on the other, so net up about 5 crores. And after that, if you move down the P&L to SG&A, it's largely flat to prior year, yeah, except for CSR provisioning and royalty. So we need to provide this year about 2 crores, approximately 2 crores on CSR provisioning, and our provisioning last year was obviously significantly lower. And we fully compliant with all that we need to do in the current year, and we were fully compliant last year as well. We'll probably need to add somewhere, I think it will be in the relative to prior year of about 1.5 to 1.8 or something extra crores, right? And we also had incremental royalty of about 50 lakhs in the current quarter. So that total is about 90 lakhs, and that is the change in SG&A. If you add that up along with the change in gross margin, that will pretty much give you the movement in operating profit. And profit before tax and profit after tax are 38% and 40% lower respectively than prior year. This really is given the high base effect of quarter one, as you already talked to through the line screener. So overall, I would say a very good start to FY22. All right. So I'm going to skip page 4 of the presentation and move to ready to cook snacks, which is page 5. We saw stronger than growth expected in ready-to-cook popcorn. As you can see, it was about a 36% value growth and a 39% volume. 36% volume growth and a 39% value growth. The pricing on premium range was increased to offset the higher commodity prices, palm oil, popcorn kernels, and this is therefore visible in the value versus volume charts. There was a boosting of the growth rate with a steady growth of sweet corn. Commercial production and shipments of pasta and the sauce kit commenced in June. Sell-ins are currently underway, and initial feedback to the concept, I think, is positive. I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about this so that you get an idea of what exactly it is. We told you that we'll probably enter pasta and noodle soups or not. The question is, how would we enter it, and why will our entry be differentiated? So, here's how it plays out. Now this product is in the market, so we can talk a little bit more about it. Our pasta kit really includes a pack of pasta and a pack of pasta sauce, right? Now, a lot of people sell pasta, and a lot of people sell pasta sauce, but today there are actually only two companies that combine the two, right? One is Tata Q, which has, and the second is us. Tata Q is at a much higher price point. Their architecture, I think, is driven by the Taj Shacks kind of approach, right? Which is, you get into an airplane, you get served on a tray, and, there's a foil on top, etc., etc. So, it's a slightly more expensive architecture. Ours is a little more bottom-end architecture, right? It's based on our sweet corn architecture, right? Which says there's a retort pouch, there is a sachet with that, and then there is a floor wrap on top of it. So ours is very, very low cost. There's nobody actually in the market, in the retorted pouches market, who has been able to sell products to the consumer at 20 to 25 rupees, which is what we are doing today with sweet corn, right? So the faster price, this one, this pack is priced at 50. We'll also see how to have a lower price going on. Let's see. But I think we've come out with an excellent product. It's a differentiated product. And this is the approach that we'll be taking in several other products as well, right? So we will leverage our competitive strength in terms of now having a very, very competitively low-cost, competitively costed, low-cost manufacturing for retrofit pouches. We will produce whatever we will need to make in-house, and then we will buy the balance items from outside. To an extent, there is true for sweet corn also, where we retort the sweet corn ourselves, we buy the seasoning from outside, we put the two together and sell it. It's the same architecture for pasta, right? We make the sauce in-house, we buy the pasta from outside, and we sell it as we sell a pasta cum sauce kit. We intend to do the same thing with pad thai, where we'll be making the pad thai sauce ourselves. That will be a much smaller business, obviously. Pasta is a much larger market. It's like 2,500 crores, right? Whereas pad thai will be very, very small, you know, limited basically to imported blue elephant kits, right? But we intend to have a full range offering really in this whole ready-to-cook kits area, right? So we'll make the sauce in-house, and, you know, we buy the pad thai noodles from outside, ditto on a chow mein hakka kit, when we make the sauce in-house and then we buy the hakka noodles from outside. And we could extend this actually endlessly. We could extend this endlessly, we could extend it to breakfast, we could have coconut chutneys with upma, and there is, the total addressable market is really large. And because our comparative advantage lies today in the fact that we're really able to do a great job in terms of providing this sauce, and, you know, in a, without any preservatives and in a low-cost manner, I think it is a clear pathway to success, to gaining share in segments which are large, and yet at the same time without having, you know, spending a lot of advertising dollars behind it, right? So overall, we'll keep you posted, but I think the initial response is good, and as you'll see later, is also a good time for us to enter the category, because most of these pasta majors are busy right now fighting in the noodle market. So, which is good, and, you know, it will give us a fairly easy stroke, at least easier entry into the category. The next category is ready-to-eat snacks. So, that's page number 6 of the presentation. As you can see here, really, volumes are pretty much flat to prior year. We haven't really seen any growth. Value, however, is higher by 9%. So, the second wave and the consequent lockdowns, April, May were very difficult months for everybody, right? They've clearly had a negative impact on the business with lower than expected growth. So on the flip side, we saw higher than the expected growth on ready to cook, but then we saw lower than expected growth on ready to eat. Right? The value growth really reflects that popcorn actually performed very well, ready to eat popcorn. A lot of the popcorn, ready to eat popcorn players, I think, have struggled in this quarter due to pricing of palm oil kernels, maybe even just, you know, the financial capability to withstand through the pandemic and to keep, you know, being able to incur losses, if you will, on a monthly basis, as I'm sure many of them must have done, particularly if they're basically just popcorn players, right? And so we definitely would have gained share in the ready-to-eat popcorn. I think we'll be a very, very strong player now, actually. As the markets open up and we're able to visit more markets, we'll be able to give you better information on that. And also we changed our go-to-market. As you remember, in July 2020, we said all our 5 and 10 rupees savory snacks products will now go straight from the factory. So we changed our pricing structure. We stopped all the trade. The trade deals which you give on secondary sales, you now netted it off, etc., etc. So that also has positively impacted the net sales realization. The higher palm oil prices have certainly impacted the category margins. At an overall level, you saw our margin grew by 10%, whereas our revenues volumes grew by about 30%, right? So part of it will be here as well. And the margin challenges are being addressed to increase focus on higher end products. So we focus more on things like caramel bliss, which is, you know, sold at much higher prices, 1,000 rupees a kilowatt. Some packaging cost reduction, which we are in the process of doing. So all of that is just ongoing normal management business, right? And we are also seeing how to accelerate the development of value-added offerings for margin improvement, right? One of the things that's clear is that while we continue to scale up in this category, and therefore with scale we'll get operating leverage, right, and also together with the growth of breakfast cereals, but along with that we will need to keep having a sort of what we have for caramel bliss and popcorn. We need that on chips, we need that on extruded snacks, right? And if we can have that, then automatically, you know, we will have more higher margin products which are rolling off the same manufacturing infrastructure, manufacturing and logistics infrastructure. So we are looking at things like protein chips, we're looking at extruded pan products, you know, and even things like that candy, right? So as we add those into this category, that together with the scale will give us the margin that we are looking for. We don't expect this to be a hugely profitable segment ever, but at least, you know, it should not, so it will always be a little margin dilutive in that sense, but we should not be losing money on it, right? So we should always be in the black and maybe, you know, get to even high single digits, you know, we have margins and things, we are kind of okay on that. Accelerated development of value, so value added offerings, I talked about that. Learning continues on potato chips. We have a great potato chip. I know it's not going to be available for many, most of you, right? But so we don't do a lot. We just, you know, make it once or twice a month, probably more once a month than twice. And we send it along with heavier products. So this follows the brick and feather. We don't have the margin on this to be able to ship it just by itself, but it can go with along with things like peanut butter, sweet corn, pasta, so on and so forth, because there's always empty space left in those trucks when they're shipped out, because they're quite heavy, right? But it's a great product. It's got a significantly lower fat content than Lay's potato chips. It's a lot of consumers just say, taste it, they say, oh wow, this, you know, feels just like Pringles, right? So it's a very nice product, but we just, it's taking time, and as we told you always, potato is a tough commodity. We don't intend to lose any money on this, and we're just going to take our time learning and, you know, work through that. Okay. Spreads and dips, I think this is one category where we feel the growth is less than what we expected, but not because of COVID. But we think we were running a promotion because, you know, to deal with the competitive launch of Levers and Hindustan Levers, Kisan and Amul, we'd actually been, you know, for about several months, mostly at least eight months, we must have been running a promotion to, you know, where we were giving the coconut promotions bottle free along with the 508 grand pack. We discontinued that about 2 months ago, and you know, we've certainly seen some softness post that, right? We think this could be due to lockdown. It's very difficult to call, right? But we always believe it is better to assume that there is some share loss and take management action accordingly. Okay. If you recall, we had a similar situation about 5 years ago when there was the 1 kg pack, and even though we don't buy audit, we felt at that point in time we had lost some share, so we reacted accordingly on the 1 kg, and then we got back our share. So we are working on the assumption there has been some share loss here. It is somewhere between 100 and 200 rupees is where the game is being played. One of the representatives of one of our lead investors, our largest investor, after Conagra, had called this out to me. Praveen had mentioned this. You know, he said, look, you know, something, you know, you're not available at 175, and I explained them that, you know, on a per gram price, we were pretty good. But it's not only Kisan, actually, and Amul, and Kisan is at least good because, you know, they spend some money on the category, so it helps the category grow. But there's a lot of other players which have come in at about the 350 gram packs at 120, 140, 150. Rebus, Fun Foods, of course, obviously there. So we've actually started to roll out a 350 gram product under the Nutfresh brand name, right? Peanut. We already have using the Nutfresh for almond butter, but we're going to be using this for peanut butter as well, right? And we will also be bringing down the price of our four, not 562, we'll, four, not 508, we'll make it a 462 gram pack and then bring that price temporarily down to 175 to assess what is the situation, right? Our math is that, you know, we'll make up because the volume and our own plant, we always get better manufacturing cost with volume, so we'll make up that margin, right? And then we'll understand what it is. Broadly speaking, what our hypothesis currently is, and it will obviously be subject to as the markets open, we are able to give you a better perspective on it, is that we'll need to segment the peanut butter spread market in two markets. One is recipe-based, which is what our regular premium peanut butter, which we currently sell, and the other will be all which meets the protein requirements. So where protein is more important than recipe, right? And there is going to be a price difference between these two. So that probably is how we need to play. We will need to play this category for the future. So this is our first attempt to do that. So as I said, this Nutfresh peanut butter is going out with, as you can see from the presentation, it's a 350 gram pack which is priced at 115. So it's very, very attractive. So we intend to have a very strong position at about that price point. We'll also have very, very good value when it comes to our premium peanut butter, which will initially be priced at 175, and then we'll see how to take it from there. Right? And it may take us a couple of months to figure this out, One of these actions is already underway, and the second one is being produced in the factory as we speak right now, right? So overall, therefore, bottom line, we are not sure. Maybe the slower growth is due to COVID and lockdowns, but maybe it isn't. And it is better to assume that it isn't, and therefore take actions to work accordingly. And we have two actions, which are in line with the recipe, separation of recipe with the protein content. One is to have a product that meets exactly the protein content. And in fact, the recipe of these two products is also not similar, meaning you can see visibly the difference in taste. And the other is our high quality premium peanut butter, which we sell today under the Sandor brand. Okay. Total category value growth of spreads is ahead of volume due to higher price realization of chocolate spreads and dips. Both spreads and dips come sell at a higher price. So obviously, as we are adding more of these spreads, that's adding to the value growth, right? And so that will also help us as we manage the entire nut butter piece. Our differentiated hummus offering has been very well accepted, and the rollout continues. I was just seeing a couple of days ago on Milk Basket, which is a local, hyper-local delivery service, and we were like, now clearly the second brand as far as hummus is concerned, and that's without spending a dollar. We haven't spent any money on advertising, anything. We just don't spend money, and it's a great product. It's a great architecture. Architecturally, this product is very similar to sweet corn and pasta, right? There's a retorted pouch along with that, there are two additional pouches, right? One which contains the seasoning, and the other which contains the tahini, which is the edible oil and the sesame mixture, right? But overall, very much in line with what we expected, and we are very happy with it. Okay, breakfast cereals, the growth numbers are high. We had to, you know, we were reporting it in terms of basic contribution to food growth. But now that starts to become complex because multiple dimensions. So we brought both these on chocolates into the same format. But obviously the percentages look good, but these are less than what we would have expected, right? So clear acting impact of lockdown is visible here. There's nothing else. The growth figures are obviously high because of a small base. Value loss volume because of the introduction of 5 rupees shells and Ozen X's. So those two products which are in the lower part of the photograph are the 5 rupee packs that we launched. Right, and both are very, very good products. And you know, if you ever happen to get hold of it, you may not, because you live in probably more affluent locality. But in the 5 rupee stores, you'll find this there, right? And they are very, very good versus competition, right? Of course, our Centerfield breakfast series is by far the best. The opportunity, we had very low plant volumes during the month of April and May. So we, you know, really refined our portfolio also in terms of SKU offering. So we were missing some box packs, you know, to be able to go on the shelves in self-service stores and in larger Kirana stores. So we've done that, box packs with, you know, portion control packs for individual consumption. With reopening of the economy, we are once again starting to drive distribution of the full range of cereal profiles. And the Centerfield margins, as our P&L is improving now, it's getting more certainty with a dominant share of foods and a lower share of oils, and also now a more stable share of oils, right? We certainly think that in the near future, we're not sure exactly when, but we should be able to generate funds. The P&L should be able to support some amount of advertising. The candidates for that advertising will be the Centerfield series and the Duo chocolates, right? Both have merit in their own way, but because, you know, this is a very differentiated product. And the great news is definitely A&P grade, right? For A&P grade, we believe we need products which are in the 40 to 45% gross contribution range, right? Gross contribution means net sales less, raw material and packing material. And at this point in time, the Centerfield margin profile is definitely there. It's still about 40%, right? So that gives us enough scope after you take into account freight and, you know, what we see will be the manufacturing expenses going forward as we get operating leverage, right? And you take into account our relatively low SG&A. It has space for about 5 to 7% of advertising and yet give us about, you know, 15% of EBITDA margin, right? That's what we shared with you last time, that structurally the foods business is about 16% EBITDA, and we should be able to, you know, we should be able to get there with these products. Okay. So that's it on breakfast cereals. On chocolates, again, the growth rates are very high, but that's only because the base is very small. The important thing is that we rolled out our revised product price architecture, right? So, you know, the all the packs have now been redone versus last year. So we have a 5 rupee pack now. We have a 10 rupee pack. We had a 10 rupee pack, but it was actually two pralines of 28.6. We've lowered the weight of that. It's come down to 23.5. It still has a tray and a floor app because it's still on using a hot seal. It will move like the 5 rupee product when you get hold of it. It's a cold seal laminate, like most of the chocolate majors have it. And so that will also, this will also move. And once that happens, both of these will also be again A&P grade, right? Which is remarkable. See, getting a 5 rupee and a 10 rupee chocolate with these kind of damages for a new entrant like us is just unimaginable, right? Getting a 5 rupee offering at 9.5 gram, which makes money, right? Or at least can make money with the right manufacturing cost, is a holy grail of marketing, right? Because actually there has been no, my own calculation, and I could be wrong, is that there has been no innovation in the 5 rupee chocolate price point for the last 25 years. I was going through all the earlier launches, you know, of these different products like Perk and all that. And I think it was 1996. It could be later. But the point I'm making is, either way, is that there's not much innovation that's been there in the chocolate market at the bottom end and the mass end of the market, right? And that's where the transactions happen, right? So probably even for a company like Mondelez, 50% of their transactions, of the transactions that take place or more, will be at the 5 rupee price point. And that's where the consumers come in. So I think we are in very, very good shape. Our 10 rupee product has also been very well accepted, even though, you know, we've reduced the grammage, changed the form, it's now a bar. It's a really, really, very good product. So I think we are rocking when it comes to this product. I think this is a great category. Some of you have asked me, you know, how large should this category be? I think it should be at least 5% of the 15,000 crore chocolate market, right? Which means, you know, you're talking about a 750 crore category at consumer price, 500 at company price. We have a long runway of growth, a long runway of growth. So we're just getting our act together, and we currently have one line, and, you know, that was sufficient to kind of meet our requirements for the current year, right? We're still trying to run the line fully, right? But we were looking at a revenue this year of as mentioned to many of you, you know, in the region of 20-25 crores. Let's see how it goes. But also the board has approved in our meeting yesterday a second chocolate line, right? So we are going to be ordering a second chocolate line now, and then we'll see how to play it. But this is certainly going to be a big part of our growth next year. And I think to an extent, as much as we can scale up and sell it, and, you know, just manufacture the product, ship the product to our temperature control chain and distribute it, it's there for the taking. The advertising support will depend on the speed of scaling up and the overall P&L progression of the company, how we see the P&L panning out, how's the margin doing, how's the edible oil business doing, how's the other parts of the business doing, ready to cook, ready to eat, so on and so forth. But I think we will see advertising for this at some point in the next 12 months or so, right? Okay. On the chocolate part, yeah, I think one of our investors had asked a question, which is, you know, how come, you know, you've got more than one chocolate on your website. We've actually shown, it's indicated, because at Diwali time last year, we had actually launched a peanut chocolate also and a peanut butter chocolate as well, right? So you can expect to see those variants in the future. But right now, a lot of our energy is going towards scaling up. So they are indicative of what is likely to come. Now, the other question that people have posed to us is, you know, how come it takes a lot of time for your new products to come, your food products? And our answer is, you know, we don't spend a lot of money going on. We don't go and throw money at the trade and say, you know what, I need this thing tomorrow morning. We say, look, if it's going to take you time, that's okay. But for us, the P&L, this whole profitable margin business, the EBITDA margin that they're looking for, 15-20% on the food business, right? We need to be able to get that, right? So we're not really willing to compromise on profit margin just for the sake of speed. And we're getting the speed in any case, because we have a 10-year CAGR on food of 15%. We know that we're going to add another 500 to 1,000 basis points. So it's going to continue like this. Okay. Right. So on edible oils, the premium edible oils segment was down 12% in volume, and we have indicated to you last time, you know, quarter one last year was very, very elevated. It is up about 16%, and that was kind of on a soft declining trend, right? So we've indicated to you that mid-single digits is kind of very, very, very viable as far as this business is concerned. So I would, you know, if you take the 12 and the 16, it's going to come in that ballpark. And let's see, there's a lot of turbulence on right now, but we feel comfortable that we are in that ballpark. Obviously, value is higher, but that's only because of commodity prices, right? And on mass oil, basically, one second, there's some emails coming, so I'm just going to put my computer on speakerphone, yeah, on mute. All right. So, these volumes are significantly lower than last year. A lot of it is due to the out-of-home because, you know, the out-of-home business was very, very weak in quarter one with everybody so scared just to even, you know, really move around, right? And but it's overall in line with planning. Now, you would have also seen our disclosure that we have made to the exchange, which is that the board has approved that we, as management, can explore. We can explore alternatives for, you know, forming some kind of arrangement where we can get an alternate or third party to sell the Crystal, and also we have another brand called Healthy World under Sunroof, right, to sell these brands because they're really low margin brands, right? And one of our question investors that was sent a question in advance, so I'll answer that question as part of this presentation, which is that, you know, what are the revenues from these businesses in FY21, which is a legitimate question. So the revenues from the Crystal and the Healthy World business were about 180 or close, about 183 crores, I think, in FY21, right? How do we see it panning out? We see it kind of in the broadly, okay? We see it broadly kind of halving in the current year, and then, you know, getting rid of the balance as well in the subsequent year, right? So what will what will be left after that will be a very, very small percentage amount of mass oil, right? In the, probably in the 50 to 60 crore range, right? And we'll take a call at that point in time on, you know, what do we do with that part of the business, right? So we are obviously a lot more confident. This is something that's been on the cards for a long time, but we needed to have a dominant share of the food business, right, which is growing, so that it can offset any of these businesses as we remove them from our P&L. And, you know, we figured that early this year or end of last year that, you know, probably that time has come now, right? So we've always indicated to you that Crystal is part of our supply chain because our co-packer who makes Sunroof is also the person who handles Crystal. So we will be, you know, entering into conversations with him, and we'll see how to do this, right? Okay. So broadly, to answer the question, about 180 odd crores of turnover in FY21. Expect to see that decline by about half this year, and the balance also to be removed, kind of mostly removed from our books next year. Right? Okay. So that's the planning as of now. We'll keep you updated if there's any change in plan. Let's see how it goes. Okay. So that covers off the edible oil pieces. So we'll come now to comparative update. As you know, we don't buy shares, so we'll cover up first on snacks. I would say not too much to report on snacks. Pretty much a reasonable amount of spending. Everybody back spending this quarter. Last year, same quarter, they had actually gone off the air. We were one of the few people on the air last year. And that's visible in the quarter one spends of last year. But this year, most of the people are back now, including Frito-Lay. And I would say, however, we've been consistent. We continue to spend. And we intend to do that, right? We think we are in good shape to be able to do that. In terms of spreads, you can see here, if you go to the next chart, there's been a significant spend continuing by Hindustan Lever. They spent almost 11 crores in this quarter. So let's see how this progresses. I think this is good for the category. It's good for the business, right? We need to ensure that all our SKUs are properly positioned. Our product price architecture is right to be able to capture the benefits of all the money that they invested, right? And the few actions that we needed to take is taken, and I think we should be in good shape. We will continue to spend, obviously, because we expect to command a price premium in the long run, and even in the medium term, as we do today. We will continue to spend, but there will be no effort from our side to try and match those spend levels, right, if anybody has that question. And honey, I think, a reasonable amount of activity, although quarter one is normally low. So you can see here, you know, Dabur continues to spend. They spent about 2.4 crores in quarter one, which is kind of similar to what they spent in quarter one of last year. But Patanjali has up to spend almost 5 crores, and Sokola has also spent about 2 crores, right? So that's really the highlights from spreads. Hershey's has actually reduced their spending a lot, and which is also to be noted, right, since we are in the softer spread market. In terms of breakfast cereals, you can see here that the primary players here, you know, which is Kellogg, Sokola, and Quaker, continue their investments. Right. Nestle has actually been off air for this quarter, and it was very low the last quarter as well. right? So I guess that you must be evaluating the category. Otherwise, normally you would not expect a company like Nestlé to continue to be okay for two quarters in a row, right? And other than that, not a lot of activity. Category spent a little bit. You can see on the Bonvita sales, but it's very small. It's like 50 lakhs. So I don't expect to see too much spending coming from Bonvita. Okay. In terms of the chocolate category, Mondelez, Nestlé, and Ferrero remain steady. You can go through these numbers in more detail later, right? And our two players, I think we see, have really reduced spend. One is Hershey's, right? So they're really significantly lower than prior year, and the other is Snickers, Mars, right? So they're also much lower than last year. So we need to understand as a company what is driving those decisions on their part. It could be that they are quite overfished in modern trade, and if that is so, then modern trade has had a very difficult year, which could be that reason. ITC has kind of shifted focus. So far, if you look at the bottom two rows, they're ITC. So they were spending last year about 5 to 7 crores on Feather. This quarter, they not spend that money. They spend that money on Candyman, which is like a chocolate wafer type of product. And edible oils, there's been a significant amount of spending, continuing by actually both Fortune and Emami. So, you know, they remain the dominant, Emami and Adani really remain the dominant spenders. As we told you last time, the share of premium edible oil is actually coming down, and we expect that will continue because these players now will be basically playing on scale. We've added the noodles category, pasta and soups, because these are categories of interest to us. So you can see there's a lot of action in noodles, right? Maggi is clearly the dominant spender, followed by Sunkist. But Sabola is also spending money. They've spent, I think, close to 14 crores. So you know, they are a bit, you know, because that's, again, I guess they are close to entering the category. And we'll see how this competitive activity plays out. We are not in the category right now, as we will be, but we'll share. Keep you updated on what's the expectation. The pasta category didn't really see much spending, which is surprising, but I think everybody is so busy and spending so much money on noodles that, you know, all the money is getting diverted there. So there's a bit of a war, I guess, going on the other side, on the earlier side. So this is the one which is taking a sort of softer approach, which we are happy to have, and, you know, we're not complaining. In terms of soups, dominant spending seems to be pretty much gone out, right, in the Sun year, and they've continued to spend on the category and really spend behind these two soups, Hot and Sour, and so we'll keep you updated. In due course, you'll see us entering this category as well, but we just added them so that you all start to become familiar with the category. So really, summary, a strong start to FY22. Edible oil starting to show stability in margins, so, you know, it's going good. A robust snack foods portfolio, significantly improving go-to-market capability and attractiveness of business to high-quality distributors. This is something, actually, I think, I saw one of the, very perceptive, one of the people who commented on the stock about a year ago, said, you know, and I was reading this comment, and he was absolutely right, he or she, right, saying that, hey, wait a minute, you know, I think this, as they get this portfolio, they're probably going to have much better distributors, and that's exactly like happening. So Abhijit, who the regional manager, needs to telling us the other day, you know, I'd gone to a small town in Assam, and I could talk to this guy, and he was giving food majors, and he was not really interested in us, and he appointed somebody else, and now he called, you know, about a week ago and said, you know what, your portfolio is looking really good, and you know, I'd like to get your business. Now, obviously, you won't give it to him since you've given it to somebody else, but, you know, of course, it all depends on the quality of the distributor. The point is that it's becoming attractive, right? And we are even in a pandemic time able to add about 25 odd distributors every quarter, which is about 100 distributors a year, right? And I think as we get over this pandemic, we will have had a very different portfolio from what we had when the pandemic started, right? If you think about it, when the pandemic started, we had a much more limited portfolio in February 2020, right? We've expanded our ready-to-cook business. We started to expand our spreads business, but we got into chocolate spreads, we got into dips. We've got a virtually full line of extruded breakfast cereals today, right? All doing very well. And we've got chocolates, right? So we are going to, as the pandemic ends and we are able to be in the market fully and aggressively drive distribution, we are going to be, it's a different company. It's a completely different company from what it was, right? We are now, you know, spending regularly behind our brand. We're not being forced to cut because of price, you know, margin pressures on edible oil. So hopefully we would have taken full full advantage of all the opportunities that have come our way in the last 15 odd months. And, you know, and as this phase ends, I think we will be really in a wonderful position. We clearly have some margin headwinds that is visible in the food business, right? We talked about it, 10% margin is GM growth versus 30% volume growth. So these are being addressed. We need to address them, and we need to be smart about it. That doesn't mean that we need to, take pricing and, jeopardize future volume growth, but wherever we can, we need to take pricing, implement cost, packaging cost reduction, implement other costs. But there will be other headwinds also. Diesel is starting to become a large headwind now, freight. And that's not just true in India, it's true in the US as well, right? And so we'll have to see. I think palm oil prices have softened, so that should be good. And A&P and SG&A, hopefully we'll not need to cut A&P in the future, but we'll continue to manage SG&A. We've certainly seen a huge savings that we saw last year in terms of travel and other costs, running administrative costs. While some of those we'll have to restore as travel and things becomes, we probably won't have to restore all of it. So we're going to have to work smartly to achieve that. And overall, there's a continued steady transformation of the business, right? In line with our mission vision of becoming the best performing, most respected foods company in India. Okay, with that it, ma'am, thank you very much. I'm sorry, Mehul. It's over from my side. And if there's any questions, happy to take them.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akshay Chheda from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, I had a few questions, sir. We know that you don't buy Nielsen data and share only annual number, but could you please share some qualitative insights for the distribution reach, like the number of stores for the branded food business? And the second question is, Snacko, which is a potato seed, which is in a potato seed segment, is very competitive, like, you know, with the players like Haldiram, Lay's and Bingo being there, we understand you don't want to wish to burn money over there. But what is the thought process that we don't have the right to win in long run over there?
Right. Anything else, Akshay?
Yes, sir. One more question was there. Sir, what is the response of the global current to our inflation in branded food over the last year? Currently, India strategy doesn't get mentioned in the global reports. And any plans to change the name in Conagra India?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Akshay. So I think in terms of the qualitative insight, Akshay, we would be now having a coverage which will be closer to about 450,000 stores, right? Little under that, probably in the 440 range, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes up and down depending on, you know, lockdowns and distributors, active distributors, so on and so forth. But I would say it is we continue to be able to add coverage. As I mentioned earlier, that, you know, we're probably adding about 25 distributors every quarter. And qualitatively, I would say our the distribution infrastructure is becoming better by the day. By the day, probably by the minute. And the reason is the portfolio, right? Today, when our distributor goes into a market, he has food products from Conagra, from Agrotech, right, which are five categories, right, ready to cook, ready to eat, spreads, breakfast cereals, chocolate, right. Now, if you compare that, if he was handling a single category company like Kellogg's, right, that may work in a high-end South Bombay or in a Zeta Kailash in Delhi, but that's not going to work as you go down the pop strata because those categories are just not large enough. Right, so we certainly have the product profile of a Hindustan Lever or an Nestle today in terms of the categories in which we are competing in. It's just that we don't have the scale, but that will come too, right, as we grow, and we will grow to that, you know, to be a $1 billion foods company. In terms of Snacko potato chips, 100% right. I think we don't have a right to win, which is identified right now. And that is why we are being extra careful. But it's a large category, right? Potato chips is also in almost like a chocolate confectionery category. So pretty large category. That's why we have been very, very safe and conservative on this one. We know that we have a great product. That we know. Our right to win, currently the one identification that we've done on right to win is that because the fat content of our if you will, potato chip is so much lower than our competitors, right? We certainly have a great tasting product, and by the way, it's very visible to consumers as well. Okay, if you know anybody who's actually had this product can you know will tell you that, right? If you have the product, you say, oh my god, it's really dry, right? Meaning it, you just don't have any experience of oils. I mean, no oily feeling on it. Okay, so I would say if, once we are able to build on that, we'll be in good shape. But just let me throw some numbers at you. Okay, our Snacko range has about between 26 and 27 grams per 100 gram, right, of fat. Okay, so it's about 26-27% is the fat content. If you look at a product like Lay's Magic Masala, they will have almost 36 grams, so 36%, right? And if you take a product like, say, Bingo, that will probably be about 32%. So we have between, I would say, 600 and 1,000 basis points of less fat in our potato chips. Now, what we need to do is figure out how do we make a business model out of it, how many stores we are willing to distribute it, how much, how we learn about potato. Learning about a commodity is also not easy, but so we'll be working through that. Alright? And last, as far as global parent is concerned, you know, our global parent is very much a North American focused company. Okay? So, more than my telling you anything about the global parent, you can read their analyst calls here. They're available on Seeking Alpha. And they've always said that, look, you know, we're a pure play North American company, and they're very much focused on North America. They are great shareholders of this company. They've been excellent shareholders of this company. Yeah? But their focus is there, right? And which is okay, you know, as they're an excellent parent for us to have. We're very fortunate to have them as the promoters of the company. And as of now, they have their own mission. Okay? Yeah. All right. So that's it, ma'am. We can go to the next question. Thank you, Akshay. Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Patrick. Take care, Manchus. Have a good day.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Sachin and team. I have a few questions. So I had decided not to ask about edible oil after you taunting me several times. But I'm sorry, I have to ask this time. So
I apologize.
my question is on Crystal. So you, Crystal and the other brand which you spoke about, which is the mass edible oil, where you said that the sales here is going to halve. So I don't understand exactly what is happening. Is it halving because you are selling some part of your business to your franchisee, or this is halving because there is actual loss of sales at the consumer level? And if it is the latter, 50% is a huge number. Why not just sell off the brand to the franchisees and let them be interested in at least growing the brand and you getting a good value while the sales is still there with you? Otherwise, when the sales halves, you'll get half the value for the brand. So that's question one. Question two is, if you could just give me one data point on what is your direct distribution. So what I mean by direct distribution is if you are reaching a retail outlet without a wholesaler in between, the company distributor directly going to a retail outlet, how many retail outlets do you reach through that route? So that's the direct distribution. And thirdly, just wanted to understand your thoughts on the product portfolio. See, in the beginning, we had a very small product portfolio. We had only peanut butter and popcorn, and we felt that we should add bulk to our distribution system to make it sort of more efficient, economical, as well as attract good distributors, etc. But today, we have a very good product portfolio. I mean, this kind of product portfolio would be sufficient even to sustain a 3-4,000 crore food company. Now, with this kind of a product portfolio, why are we still adding newer and newer products when the existing products are so subscale? Wouldn't you rather focus your energies in bringing up market share of products like breakfast cereal and chocolate, which are very, very large categories and you're very small players here? Rather than entering one more new large category, which is noodles and pasta. Because then having so many subscale products, do you think that's the right way to proceed? So some thoughts on that. These are my three questions.
Okay, thank you, Kosti. So the answer to your question on Crystal and Healthy World is it's the latter. Okay. So the intention is not to have lower sales, right? Okay. There could be lower sales, obviously, in lockdown periods where it goes up and down, right? But let's say with Krystal, right, the answer is that this is a low-margin business, and you know, it's in that 1.5%, 2% margin business. And therefore, it has little role as far as our portfolio is concerned. Now, this question has been asked several times in the past, over the last 10, 15 years, you know, why don't you sell Krystal? And the answer is no. Because we actually don't have our own plants in edible oils, okay? So our sun-drop edible oil is also produced at the same facility which our co-packer, who manages the Krystal business for us currently, right? So we intend to keep a handle, control on this, on the entire supply chain. So what it really means is the approval of the board to look at alternate ways to do it, right, is only reflecting one thing, that our other businesses have now started to become of size, of scale, and therefore we can afford to shed this much turnover in our business. And also our supply chain, to an extent, is also more reliable. However, we do not intend to lose control on it. We intend to continue to own the brand, right, and all the leverage that actually comes from owning the brand. Okay. So, and the answer is not to say we want to halve the business, right? We want to continue to extract the margin, and we will continue to extract the margin and the profitability as we do today. All right. So it's only a restating of arrangements in some cases, and probably exploring new arrangements in the case of the other. All right. In terms of your data point, I think I mentioned we have a ATFL direct coverage. We closed last year at about 440,000. I'm sure in this quarter that would have come down a little bit because of the pandemic. Because some of our distributors may have closed, others may, you know, there'll be new people appointed. Although we don't have much distributor attrition, but you know, people have had problems in their families. They've been hit with huge medical bills. And so there have been inactive distributors in this period, naturally, right? But you can assume that as we closed last year, 440,000 is a very good figure in terms of our direct coverage. Okay, so those are the number of stores that we actually reach as a company. Okay, last, in terms of product portfolio, your answer is yes. The answer is yes. We, I think, have a product portfolio of $500,000 or $1 billion company today. But that needs to be completed from all sides. So let me articulate this well to you. One is, even within a product portfolio, you need to actually, in India, have products which meet all three price points. So, you know, these price points, if I was to articulate it on a price per kilo basis, right, would vary, obviously, by category. But let's say 1,000 rupees per kilo will be premium products. Okay. Then, on an average, 400 rupees per kilo would be mid-price products. Right. And let's say 250 would be entry level products, which is the mass, you know, which is the equivalent of the 5 rupee chocolate. Although in chocolates, that range is a little higher, right? In chocolates, it will be higher. In a thing like oats, it will be lower. In oats, the entry point will be 150 rupees a kilo because it's a very commoditized business. Okay. So we need to actually enter all these pieces. If you don't enter in all these pieces, you will never have a profitable business. And if you look at the food majors, they do exactly that. But it's just that they've done it over 50, 100 years, right? Where you have entry-level products, then you have mid-price, and then you have premium, right? If you don't have the premium, you don't make the margin, right? If you don't have the entry-level, you don't get the scale, right? And if you get the, if you don't have the mid, you lose a large opportunity which is available by way of profit pool, okay? So each of these is well thought through, and I would say, therefore, addresses one is this articulation. So if you actually plot our five categories, and maybe in the next analyst call, we'll actually show you that chart. That's, you know, it's all in the public domain. You'll see how we think about the businesses across our five categories. And with each one of them, our effort is we need to be in all three, right? So for example, in Centerfeld cereals, we were not in the bottom. We were in the middle. So we needed the shells and the O's and X's, etc., to be able to, you know, go also have a presence right at the bottom. Okay. As far as the other subcategories within these five categories are concerned, they are all very attractive categories and are going to help us get operating leverage. Remember, architecturally, and this, I use the word architecture, and probably I must be one of the few people who keeps using architecture. But architecturally, these are all flowing off the same manufacturing structure, right? Sweet corn, pasta, noodles, right? There's no capital that the company is specifically deploying behind these. We are leveraging competitive advantage which we have in terms of making these amazing sauce pouches, It's a clear competitive advantage. That's why we're not investing our own capital in noodles and pasta, because we can just buy it out, right? There's enough capacity to buy out for pasta and noodles, and obviously that also makes us more capital efficient, all right? So all of these are thought through, ditto for homers. It goes off the same manufacturing architecture. When we do that, we get scale. And when we do that, we get operating leverage. So we get more trucks which are getting shipped out from the factory, from the Zagadia factory. If we get more trucks, then you know you get more economies of scale. The shipments to the depots become more frequent. The freshness of the stock improves. You can send other products on top of it. There are innumerable benefits of that, of scale. Okay, so last year we would have had a manufacturing cost of about 15%. What all these businesses do, and because they have a very large TAM, right? They have a very large total addressable market. It enables us to gradually lower that manufacturing cost, right? So if, let's say, we had a 46% gross contribution last year with a 15% manufacturing cost, that gives us a net gross margin of about 31%. We will get from 15 to 12 and 10 by getting the scale. And if you go deep down into all the food measures, all of them have it. You will not be able to achieve success in a market like India without. Okay? Thank you for asking all those questions, and I apologize if I stopped you from asking too many questions.
No, that wasn't a lighter note. Thanks a lot.
Have a good day. Cheers.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachin and team. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope you guys are well in Delhi. My two questions, I think after a long time, I'm seeing that you have now really put your dreams true in terms of portfolio. I think the bigger question which I'm struggling to understand, you have been banking on the slow and steady winning the marketplace in terms of the distribution. I think with the basket of the product, what is the bottleneck? Are we now seeing the distributors or the liquidity in the market is stopping us to expand quickly? And one follow-up on that, now where is the distribution standing? Are we broadly in top 800 or we have gone beyond 2,000 cities? And the second question is on the margin. Though you gave a very good picture, the inflation is behind. But somewhere you are still away from your 40-45% milestone. So when do you think in the current context, I hope the pandemic is behind, do you think it is achievable in next one and a half year?
Okay, thank you. So all good questions. So I think on the distribution growth, that is continuing, right? I don't think for us liquidity will be an issue, because actually our distributors are seeing a very good growth, right? If you see now, for our distributors, the dominant share of the business will already be foods, right? Even for us, if we are getting close to the mid-40s kind of figure, for them it is even more, because there is no Crystal, right? And even the Healthy World business which we do is often through different distributors. So our distributors are actually growing very healthy, and I talked about it earlier in the conference call. We are A, happy, and B, there are new guys who are happy to come to us, okay? So I don't see any of those challenges. And remember, this portfolio is going to seep into the market. It is seeping in, right? I mentioned earlier that our portfolio is very different from what it was pre-pandemic to what it is today, right? But remember, all this has happened during the pandemic, right? So what will happen post the pandemic is a lot of our energy will get deployed, and we'll have to see when exactly that happens, right? We'll get deployed behind driving it, right? But so the full impact of what you see today in a PowerPoint presentation is yet to be felt in the market, right? Naturally, right? Because after all, we've just scaled up chocolates now. So you will, as you see that, you will see it. But to an extent, it is visible, because we are already managing to add distributors with a very low level of, sales development, right? Because earlier all of us would be in the market, you are pushing it, etc. So that should hopefully increase further, right? Okay. So I think we answered, we talked a lot about the portfolio, and it is in we will be extracting, if you will, the full juice from this portfolio. But certainly, it's not going to be in the middle of a second wave of coronavirus where, you know, large parts of the country are sitting at home, right? So that's reasonable too. Okay. In terms of the city coverage, I think we are kind of in between the two, right? So we've gone beyond the top 800, right? But naturally, right, because we have more than 100, 120 super distributors, each one of them individually will be having, you know, what's it called, about 15 to 20 all sub-stockists, right? So that number itself is closer to, you know, taking you closer to the 2,000, right? So we are definitely past that, and that is because of the portfolio. And as we are able to leverage the portfolio, we certainly should be able to do even better job on that. And last is on margin. I think we are now pursuing a path where we believe that in the next 5 years, a lot of the growth in India and rapid growth, right, and for us to progress to becoming a billion-dollar foods company, will come, a lot of it will come through volume, right? So we're going to be open to seeing how we actually get the margin, right? It could be through more percentage. It could be through more volume. But so long as we are getting it, all parts are falling into place. We are getting operating leverage. Our manufacturing costs are coming down. Our gross margins are going up. We are fine with that, right? We are now, it is reasonably clear in the 20%-25% volume growth range, right? And as we add many of these products, as we are seeing already in spreads, our volume growth is actually faster than our value growth is actually faster than our volume growth. So let's see, and we'll play it by ear. But certainly, we are in excellent shape, I would say, for continued growth in revenue and profitability. Okay?
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Stay well. Yeah. Okay, ma'am, we'll just continue a little bit for all those who are interested. But if somebody wants to dial away, obviously, they're free to dial away because it's past 3 o'clock. But we'll go on for a few more questions if there are any.
Sure. The next question is from the line of Dhanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachin. Good afternoon. Three questions. The first one is on the chocolate side. So since now PPA is in place and, you know, we are planning to ramp it up this year and years, you know, thereafter, any directional sense in terms of what kind of distribution reach that?
The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Sachin. Thanks for the opportunity. What I wanted to check with you, you touched upon the capacity expansion. And so what I need to understand, I mean, yes, we know what you're doing on edible oil. But in terms of the food business, how much we are producing in-house and how much is the outsource? And any plan or concrete plan you can share that how you're looking scaling up this production in-house?
Okay. That's great, Shirish. So thank you. See, we currently have a manufacturing footprint, which is probably in the region of about, it's under 500,000 sq ft, probably 450,000 sq ft across the country, right? And how it works is that on a continual basis, we keep adding to infrastructure, right? So you would have seen, we just, you know, added a small plot of land next to our Kothur factory, right? Once, now that we've got that land, we'll see at what appropriate opportunity to expand the plant there. So we will continue to expand our footprint in terms of number of square feet of plant space that we have, right? And we will also continue to add machinery on an ongoing basis to be able to increase capacities, all right? But that will depend on the attractiveness of each of those categories, right? So, for example, we just increased the capacity of our ready-to-cook business, right, on the popcorn side by another 25-odd%, so, or 20-odd%. So, that's a continual process. Having said that, I think I had said earlier and a while ago that we had said about a year and a half ago that we probably have close to 500 crores of foods capacity already, right? And we will need to add, but it is not going to be at the same scale as we have done in the past, right? So I would say at this point in time, we are focused on building capacities to get to about a $100 million food business, so about 750 to 800 crores, right? That should happen in the next couple of years. Meanwhile, we will keep buying land, we'll keep building plants, right? To be able to continue to motor our way through steadily, right? Our focus will continue to be on in-house manufacturing, but we will use third parties as appropriate. That doesn't mean that we don't use third parties, but as I explained on the pasta side, we are going to make the sauce inside and we are going to buy the pasta from outside. But you will never ever see us saying, oh, by the way, let me now buy pasta from ABC manufacturer, get him to brand it under Sundrop Pasta and put a lot of advertising money behind it. We won't do that because that's an EBITDA negative business. All right? And we've demonstrated that. We've demonstrated that time and time again. You can do the math yourself and do it for any competitor which believes in it. Right? So there is no money in it. Right? It is now. It's okay if it's EBITDA negative or EBITDA zero if you know the total company P&L of the company can afford it. But that is not the case in our side. So we will remain focused on in-house manufacturing because that is the only way in which we see that we can bring innovation to the market. That is the only way, right? Okay. And over time, Shirish, using advertising only to differentiate product, I think is going to be more and more difficult because consumer awareness about products, about pricing is far greater today than it was 5 or 10 or 20 years ago. Okay. So I hope that answered your question. We'll continue to increase capacities on a steady basis and we are doing that even today. I talked just now about how we're going to be doubling our chocolate capacity. So yeah, but it will all be within a, 4 to 5% of our top line spending in that ballpark is what we're going to be spending on capital expenditure. It's not going to be more than that. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Thanks, Shirish. Okay, ma'am, then we can close the meeting. No, bump over then Dhananjay will come back.
Sure.
Sure, sir. Would you like to add any closing remarks?
Yeah, sir. Just want to say thank you all for, joining us. Thank you for taking the time out. Have a great quarter and talk to you in a couple of months. Cheers.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers, that concludes the conference. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.